All right, everybody. Welcome to what usually would be an episode of Zero Issues, but we've decided to get in on that very profitable licensed podcast game. So we're going to be talking about
money.
Hell yeah, big money. We're going to be talking about a licensed property, basically, that I assume there's a lot of money in at this point because we were able to license it.
It's a hot commodity, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Really, so what are we doing, Kyle? What are we doing?
Well, I mean, who's got the biggest podcast? It's Joe Rogan, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Who's got the second biggest podcast? It's Dave Foley, right?
I don't know.
Who's got the third biggest podcast? It's Andy Dick. And fourth goes to the ghost of Phil Hartman. So we are jumping on board with our new show, News Radio News Radio.
Oh, I like it. See, I think this is going to last, this is going to be it. I think this is it for us.
This is going to last longer than News Radio.
I think so.
Six seasons.
I like it.
I'm a little disappointed that, the Tierney cast isn't a little higher on that list, but, it's tough out there.
I mean, it got bumped by the Linda Cardellini podcast.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's just slightly higher on the list of female actresses that I have crushes on.
Mm-hmm. I'm subscribing right now.
Are we doing a news bit in it? Because then we could do news, radio, news.
Radio.
That's a great idea that we're going to get to. I hate to tell you this, guys. With news, radio, news has been canceled.
We got the backup one, though. We got our Mission Hill podcast, right?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Weirdy Beans at?
Not even joking, I want to do that.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast! Zero Issues Comic Podcast!
Excelsior!
All right, welcome to the...
Get lost, I'm doing it. Welcome to the show.
All right, you have to say more stuff after that.
You can't just stop.
See, this is why I don't do this most weeks, because I don't want to say more after that. I feel like I really got the point across. But welcome to Zero Issues. We're your very good Zero Issues friends, starting with my boy in the beanie.
I'm Kyle Lees, and I'm wearing a hat, because otherwise my headphones will follow to my ears.
Mm-hmm. And my dear friend in his big boy earphones.
They cover all my ears.
That's true. What's your name?
Oh, I'm Merc.
And I very sadly remain Brian.
250 episodes now? Is that what we're at?
Something we're very close to it, but more if you consider all the little snippety things we've done over the years.
Yeah.
We're very persistent.
If you do Marvel numbering, yes. We're at 705.
Oh, yeah. Legacy numbering is...
Or one.
The beauty of legacy numbering is you can have an anniversary episode or issue whenever you really feel like it.
Yeah.
So here we are.
What are we talking about today?
Well,
Phil Hartman.
Yes.
Besides Phil Hartman.
Well, we could. We're talking about licensed comics, but in particular, we're talking about licensed comics, but the ones that in mind I had particularly is some really weird or short-lived ones where licensed comics, I mean, they weren't always what they were. They weren't always what they...
But sometimes, they might.
But when they was, they were wacky.
Occasionally, they am.
Oh, yeah. But when they aren't,
they weren't always
they won't.
What they are now, where an entire...
But when they will, won't they?
Because they will when they wasn't, but they will when they can.
Now, Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a woman? What?
And what a woman.
American woman.
Mm. Wait for me.
Okay, Brian, you were saying,
sorry, go ahead.
What I'm saying is, as far as licensed comics go, I mean, those have been a constant presence for a long, long time. And now they've been consistently like big business. Like IDW is like pretty much running on licensed comics.
But I wonder how much of it is an actual big business. Because you got to think, like, the numbers that they do are not huge. And they got to pay their talent. Okay, I'm stealing a bit from, if you've ever watched on YouTube, there's a channel called Comic Tropes. Highly recommended. It's really interesting. And I watched a bit on licensed comics. And he kind of broke it down. He's like, I don't know how some of these are making money. Because you have to pay the licensing fee in order to access these. Then, especially like IDW or Boom or whatever, they're not making big numbers. And he actually kind of tracked them. He's like, you know, they sold 4,000 copies or something. Like, that's not a lot. You got to pay your talent. These companies are not known for paying enormous amounts to their talent. So, it's like, their margin is incredibly slim.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that they can even continue going.
Well, I think that's sort of, not in a lot of cases, they don't last terribly long necessarily. Like, some companies can make a good go of it. And I think it does depend on the licenses that they're able to get, and also, like, you know, just the level of talent they're able to bring to the title and the level of, like, consistency they're able to maintain with, with that property, with those sales, I guess. I mean, not everything's...
Yeah.
Like, there have been some very strange tie-ins they've really tried to do. But, you know, if you're doing, like, Transformers comics or, like, stuff like that, or, like, G.I. Joe, I mean, like, those...
I think everything is tied into Transformers at one point or
at
another.
Yeah, at one point or another.
Yeah, Transformers is the kid holding the snow globe.
Yeah. What was you that, Dick it. Grayson holding it? No.
Rick Jones.
Oh, Rick Jones. Rick yeah. Jones.
It's just Dick little... Jones. As played by Shia LaBeouf. Ugh.
Yes, please.
No,
I love that.
I mean, you know what? Actually, that might actually be okay.
I've actually kind of fallen back in love with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have in the past couple of years.
I find him really interesting now. Like, he went off the deep end, and, you know, everybody has a moment. Mm-hmm. He had a big one, but he's super interesting. Just seen a lot of interviews, and then Honey Boy was really good. Anyways, total.
Can I bring up a specific licensed comic?
Please.
That sticks out in my head when this episode was first cooked up. It's The Adventures of Kool-Aid Man, issue 6. The one featuring the Purplesaurus Rex.
Right on.
Where, like, before I looked it up, I thought for sure, well, he's hanging out with Archie, right? He's not. He's just hanging out with three kids that look like Archie and Veronica and Chuck. But it's also
it's first... Andy, Vanessa, and
I don't think they ever got names. But this is the same comic that has Kool-Aid Man asking Ben Franklin, "Oh, are you Ben Franklin?" And Ben Franklin saying, "Yeah, yes, but I'm also hot and thirsty." Beautiful.
Well,
was Jim Jones in it?
Buy and find out. So apparently the first three issues of this were done by Marvel, and the second three issues were done by Archie.
Oh.
Which is like, I have, number 6 is the only one I've ever seen, but it's basically, you know, Kool-Aid Man's cooking up new flavors in his
body.
Kool-Aid lab.
His body. He's like mixing himself. Ah.
He's showing the kids what he's working on. And
it's a meth
he's
lab.
Got a lab coat. It's basically a meth lab.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a lab coat on, but because Kool-Aid Man's face is on his chest, like belly bomb,
yes,
it's just an open lab coat. And then this fire guy basically steals stuff from Kool-Aid Man and jumps through a time door that goes to the prehistoric past. Kool-Aid Man does a quick outfit change. He's now wearing a safari outfit. But, again, because his face is on his chest...
Tell me he's got a big pith helmet.
He's got a pith helmet and khaki shorts.
Ugh, nice.
And some hiking boots, but no shirt of any kind. So, like, I guess the shirt was just optional always.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
But there was a time in the 90s where Kool-Aid Man was like, he's wearing, like, a cool hoodie.
He's wearing assless chaps.
Oh, that's like more of the Dynamite Comics, Kool-Aid Man Comics, I think.
Dynamite.
It's edgy and sexy. And gross.
Put me in you. Oh, yeah.
I'm inside you.
So you said he met, like, Benjamin Franklin, like, in time traveling?
In one of them. In this one, he meets a talking dinosaur named Purplesaurus Rex.
Right, of course. But
he also met Ben Franklin.
I want to get in on that Hamilton money, because it's all the rage. We could do this. I'm pretty sure we could license Kool-Aid Man comics and do Benjamin Franklin Hot and Thirsty. Musical theater, baby.
I mean, yeah.
That's our next step.
Kool-Aid stock has been falling since 1996.
Well, this is how we bring it back up.
Mm-hmm. It's us or IDW, so like, and we are slightly more affordable than IDW.
True.
I think like the minute we put that into the universe, they already snapped it up. So that's unfortunate. Archie published that issue. I just looked up, and I mean, like,
yeah. The third three, or the second three rather,
yeah.
4, 5, 6 were all published by Archie.
Yeah,
I've never seen the Marvel ones. I don't know if they're drawn in that Archie style, yeah, or if Kool-Aid Man has sick glass abs.
It was Rob Liefeld drew the first three issues.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to see a Ditko version of that.
Oh, yeah. I want how full-on
trippy and weird
Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah.
They just
like, don't drink me.
Like,
yeah.
You're doing the Kool-Aid. Okay, you did Squirrel Girl, you did Speedball, Kool-Aid Man. Yeah, just listen, nobody's editing this. Just do whatever the hell you want. We'll just print it.
Kool-Aid Man meets Mr. A. Yeah. And they get along great.
Fantastic.
It's 46 pages of like just Kool-Aid Man talking, yes, reading Ayn Rand.
Yeah.
And it's like the same picture every time.
It's the fountainhead, but it's a Kool-Aid fountainhead.
Just slowly, the Kool-Aid inside him just slowly disappears.
Well, you know.
Wait, if there's no Kool-Aid in him, is he still Kool-Aid Man, or is he just Glass Jar Man?
That's an interesting question.
Answer it.
God damn it.
We could easily spend the rest of the episode debating this, but we have to move on at some point.
Do we?
Yes, please. Know. Please.
Not really.
Please?
When you originally pitched the idea of licensed comics and just kind of weird one-offs and short-run things, I immediately went to, like, when I was a kid, late 70s, early 80s, Marvel was all over movie tie-ins or movie adaptations. Like, there were, and like some of
like
them...
Like Star Wars 2001.
Well, like, yeah, some of them became bigger. Like, Star Wars went for a good while.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was always, like, even just one-offs. I even have some of them. I have Time Bandits.
Oh.
They would just do adaptations of the movie. So there's, like, a one
is
comic...
Is Time Bandits the one with the little people who steal stuff from God?
Yep.
I've never seen it, but I'm aware of it.
It's a Terry Gilliam movie. So yeah, it's batshit crazy. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. It's a super good movie. But
that's like one of your favorites, I think, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I watched that over and over as a kid. It's just so strange. Krull, Buckaroo Banzai, Dune. There's a 4-issue adaptation of Dune, and Bill Sienkiewicz actually does it.
Oh, dip.
Which I've only heard about. I've never seen it.
Really? Oh man.
He's talked about it online a bit, but like stuff like Labyrinth. They always do these like weird connection.
They had a Meteor Man comic.
Yes.
Right.
Like Meteor Man was part of the Marvel universe. And he got to hang out with Night Thrasher.
Of course. They're like,
that's who we got. Well,
I'm so sorry, Meteor Man. You had a movie. You deserve better than this.
And yet, I mean he met Spider-Man too, but you gotta meet Spider-Man.
If you're gonna
be in that universe, you gotta meet Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, that already just swings by.
Yeah.
Even
if you're, you know, a part of a bike riding team of kids who solve crimes.
In Calgary.
Yeah.
Ah! Even like the 2001 comic, which was more successful, I guess. I mean, it was Kirby and they introduced Machine Man and stuff. But that came out apparently came out 8 years after the movie came out.
Was it that long?
That's what I had read, that comic came out 8 years after the movie came out. It was like,
that's
what are
wild.
What are you capitalizing on?
Because Kirby works so much quicker. You would think he'd have it done in time.
You'd think so, yeah.
Yeah.
The movie comes out and he's like, I finished the whole run. I'm just like, we don't have the license yet. It's finished.
I did 46 issues.
Here you go, 3001. This book isn't coming out for 40 years. Raptor Gardeners.
The 8 years was just the lawyers trying to get the rights. Which is like, we have to do something. Yeah.
He finished the book and he won't stop calling me.
One that I grew up on. Here's and we've talked about this. I don't know if we talked about this specifically in the past, but about like, I know like in the early year or years of the podcast, I think we talked about licensed comics that should be made. So we're kind of revisiting stuff, which we do because those early episodes are terrible. But
the trash.
We all agree. But I grew up on a like Super Mario Brothers. We'd mentioned like would had so much potential as like a comic series, but no one's really jumped on that. But the Valiant comics in 1990.
I know exactly what you're gonna say.
Yeah, they went so hard on Nintendo for like a couple of months.
Did you see the Game Boy 4-issue series?
Yes,
that's the batshit crazy one.
What?
Yeah.
Is it like the anthropomorphized Game Boy from Captain N? Or what is it?
They kind of use it as like a launch pad to get into some of the characters, but it's really weird. Again, this is thanks to Comic Tropes on YouTube. I'm totally, it's from him. He walked through the story, and it is crazy.
He's very good.
It's a guy that just, he works in an electronics store or whatever, and it's the early Game Boy days. And it turns out he stole the Game Boy out of his... I know. It's everything that you shouldn't be selling the ideas to kids.
So it's all a morality tale?
Yeah. And it's not really it, but it. I don't know. I'd have to read the whole thing. Maybe in the end he gets it. I don't know. It just seems really...
It's like the time that I worked at Blockbuster Video and we found a couple of copies of like the Legend of Zelda Collector's Edition for GameCube in the back. That we didn't have a use for, and two of us decided to steal those.
Except
I didn't get a 4-issue comic run telling my story, so to hell with this!
It's coming.
Yeah. It's coming.
Yeah.
IDW is ringing my phone tomorrow, I promise.
There have been two separate times that I've read Bill and Ted comics.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that was
being the Bogus Journey adaptation that Evan Dorkin did in the 90s, which is beautiful.
Dorkin?
Mm-hmm. And then I can't remember if it was IDW. I assume it was.
The more recent one?
Yeah.
Oh, the
it's
new?
IDW or Boom, where they like...
Bry gets up out of his seat and runs to his,
continue,
his
keep
shelf.
Talking.
Where they basically go back in time to stop the bad guy from the second one. Denominalis, is that his name?
Very similar.
They go back in time to pick up like a teen version of him to try to stop him from being bad and end up making their own nemesis in the process. And Bill and Ted's excellent comic book, yes.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
They had that adaptation and they had like a 12 or so issue run from Evan Dorkin.
Who published that?
Initially, I think it was Marvel, actually.
That's what I thought.
And then the collected edition is Boom. Put this out a couple of years back.
Oh, okay.
And we'll get to more, but continue.
I just wanted to bring them up. I just love those comics.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And we're not really doing news, but he's Evan Dorkin. He's not drawing it, but he's actually writing a comic prequel to Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Really?
Yeah. So he's writing it.
That's
I think
cool.
It's Roger Landridge, who drawing it, who I know did like some Muppets comics and stuff like that. Like he's really great. So I just find it very cool that like this much later, like from like the early 90s to like the early like to 2020, it's like, yeah, like Evan Dorkin is just the guy who does the Bill and Ted comics.
I mean, why mess with what works?
Exactly. It's perfect. There's a reason I bought this hardcover.
Hopefully he had work in between.
A few things here and there.
It was Bill and Ted, Milk and Cheese, Bill and Ted.
Right. How about when Marvel licensed God?
Go on.
The life of Pope John Paul II? Mm. there is a comic of it. I think it says issue one. I don't think there was an issue two. I don't know.
That's real.
There's also Mother Teresa of Calcutta and Francis, Brother of the Universe. If you could,
that's.
I need to track down this trifecta of amazing godly comics, and
so weird.
Yeah. Well, if you put them all three of them together, it's that interconnected cover.
Yeah.
And then you get the fourth issue that just has Magneto going like that.
And Mother Teresa's got like the 90s vest. She's wearing Cyclops vest.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Perfect, perfect.
The Pope, he charges the rosary and throws it. He's got a cool trench coat, man.
Yeah. My brother's the universe, we know, Francis. My brother's eternity.
Do you guys remember Dreamwave?
Yes.
Which was the Pat Lee studio or company. And it almost
the one that
like,
went under because the yeah.
Cause he had a very cool car.
Mm-hmm. And cool explosions behind him.
And no money for a comic company. But they licensed a bunch of stuff. Like they had Transformers was kind of their big thing. Weirdly enough, it feels like a weird like precursor to almost to like ID like you know other companies snap these up because they had like a pretty successful Transformers run that went a while. But they like they tried to do a few things, a few properties near and dear to my heart. I'll mention that had a very short runs. They
had
like,
what six issues of Mega Man?
Four.
Wow.
Literally four. Yeah. So they did like a Mega Man run with like Brian Augustine drawing, I forget the original artist's name, but for the first three issues. And it was almost like a weird, like almost a precursor to that like cartoon that came out because the whole, he was like, he went to high school pretending to be a human and was like secretly Mega Man. I'm like, isn't that kind of just what they did in that cartoon that allegedly came out at one point and then nobody noticed?
It had, I don't know how many episodes, a bunch. We talked about it a while ago.
We did, yeah. Like, for the life of me, I don't know what happened there. But,
No.
But the interesting thing was the artist of the fourth issue, who was much better, in my opinion, was Patrick Spazianti, who actually, years later, went on to launch the Archie comic, Mega Man, which ran for, like, 55 issues.
Really?
So it's kind of, it is interesting how, like, somebody's on this, like, short-lived project, kind of like a Dorkin style, where, like, they're just going to like be a part of that property, like further past that point, weirdly enough.
Mr. T and the T-Force.
Oh, yes.
Drawn by Neil Adams. How and
that
why? I don't know.
Why not?
There's a, and again, I am stealing this from Comic Tropes. Again, it all came into this one episode.
Yeah. I mean, Frank Miller drew Hostess ads.
Did he?
Oh. True.
Yes.
Well, but this is later on. This is later on. No, this is like kind of post Mr. T hype.
Post T-Mania.
Yeah, it's like way past that prime. And Neil Adams, Mr. T and the T-Force, like it's like just him being a do-gooder kind of thing. And he breaks in and finds they find a crack baby in the garbage or something or somewhere. And then he takes it and hands it to a criminal and says, look after this crack baby or I'll be after you. And he's also got like video footage of the bad guy doing something. So he's blackmailing him into looking after the crack baby. It's so bizarre. I want an omnibus version of it, but whatever.
That very much sounds like a more recent Neil Adams comic, like 100%.
Yeah.
Mr. T angle, that's just gravy.
Yep.
That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah. Mr. T gravy.
Yeah, it's from that was from Now Comics, which I don't even think they're going anymore. But
now that's what I call comics.
One of the first things I thought about is that there was like a real Ghostbusters tie-in from Now Comics in the 80s and that I had a few issues of, and I'm just like, oh, weird. Like, it felt very off to me. Like, I read this comic when I was older, and I'm just like, it just felt very, you know, they threw this thing together very quickly, kind of a cash-in. And I'm like, oh, it must have been a very short-run thing. But that ran for, like, dozens of issues.
Hmm.
So it's not, it's weird to mention here, but Now Comics, that's one you don't think about very often.
The last thing I really quickly wanted to mention was the comic adaptation of The Stand. Because that's licensed work, right?
Yeah,
technically.
I just wanted to reiterate, I know I've brought it up a couple times on the show, and, you know, probably since the very beginning, that comic sucks. Don't read it.
So it's a good thing you keep bringing it up.
I like The Stand. The Stand is a great book. It sucks as a comic because they forget that comics are a visual medium, and so there's a whole shitload of narration of stuff that you can clearly see happening in the panels.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh,
comics
yeah.
are a visual medium. You did it bad. You did a bad one.
It's written by Chris Claremont.
That's it. That's my court mandated. Yeah, exactly. All right, I don't have to bring it up till next year.
We'll be here.
Well, okay, you know our Zoom meeting is about to end, so I guess we gotta wrap it up. Let's be honest about this.
We're keeping them quick and breezy this month.
Yeah,
so yes. You're a July treat.
Don't worry. In August, they'll be twice as long.
Maybe.
As not as a normal episode, twice as long as something that's 25 minutes about.
One of our original episodes.
Yeah.
It's a good aim. It's a good target to aim mm-hmm. for.
Anyways, thanks for coming by. I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. Merc on Facebook, Merc and Ott, on Instagram.
I'm Brian Kotick. You can check out my comic Welcome to Hereafter at welcometohereafter.com. I actually had an idea for a new page. Listen, I'm not doing this again. We'll see what happens.
And I'm Kyle Lees. You can check me out at thekylelees.com. And I think we have a couple seconds. Let's just keep talking until the call ends.
Check out Ocean City Defender, who did all the musical interstitials, which were only the theme in this one because we had no interstitial bits. But other than that, yeah.
They'll be back.
But listen to, you know, all of the other episodes for those interstitial bits.
We have tons. And if you like the stuff, share it. If, you know, give us a rating somewhere.
Yeah. And if you don't like the stuff, no one's making you listen.
We're sorry. You have been disconnected.
So this is Kyle. The call ended. I'm all by myself. It's just me and the cat. Sassy, you want to be on a podcast? She doesn't want to be on a podcast. I'll see you next week.